Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from Old West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. I tell you, we had a great day last Sunday. I know you heard me announce about we was going to have one service, Meet Your Fellow Member Month, and we was going to have our brunch together. And I tell you, it was great. The Lord blessed us with a great day. We had a wonderful crowd of people. A lot of people got to meet some new folks that they didn't know or even members. So it was just a great day. We appreciate all of you listeners who are praying for us about that. We do thank you. But it's good to be back with you again today. We're back to our regular two services this morning and our Sunday school in between and our services tonight. But it's just good to be with you. Today is also going to be a great day. We're going to be baptizing a man and wife today. And that's always great when we have older people come to know Jesus. It's great when we have younger people, but especially those that have gotten older in life and still make that decision. So we're told through statistics that what? that if people do not make a decision by the time that they're 16, the odds of them ever making a decision for the Lord goes down every year. It gets less and less and less chance that they'll ever make that decision. So we're so happy this morning that we can celebrate. We celebrated the Lord's Supper last week and baptism this week. So it's good to be with you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get right on into to our message this morning. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for this opportunity once again to be in your house, once again to come and to share your word over this radio station. Lord, I just pray that you would just bless the reading of your word. We just pray that you would just bless the hearers, they hear it. And Lord, we thank you that even though we may not be in the same room, that Lord, we know that this word goes out to many people. And Lord, we know you are there in their presence. Those that are at home that may be shut in to encourage them. Those that may be sick this morning, that you would restore them to their health so that they can be back in the church of their choice. We pray for those that may be traveling there in their cars, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just fill that place wherever they're at, that you give them safe journey to and from. So, Lord, speak through me this morning. Cleanse me of my sin and my unrighteousness, Lord, and use me as your vessel, that it will always be your words and not ours, as we always give you the honor and the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we do pray. Amen. You know, this morning, as I said, we was thinking about baptism, and we know that baptism is that wonderful ordinance that we as Baptists believe that it is through immersion that we bury, because the Bible says we are buried with Christ. Well, you bury something by what? Covering it completely up. So we believe that when you baptize, that we immerse them into the baptism of poo. But it says just as we have been buried with Christ, then we are raised up to walk in that newness of life. Now, you know, that's the whole point of what accepting Christ is about, is to do what? Is to get that newness of life, to have the newness in the life, that to get rid of that old life, to bury it, to get rid of it, and then to have a new life. Well, we see that Paul, in writing to the church there at Ephesus, we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. I know I've preached on these several times before, but I think it goes with what we need to say this morning as we think about walk not in emptiness of life. Walk not in the emptiness of life. You know, there's a lot of people who are walking in emptiness all their life. They've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. They've never been filled with Christ living within them. They've never accepted Him. And when we do accept Him, when it talks about raising up to walk in that newness of life is the fact that Christ dwells within us through the Holy Spirit, and that He lives within us, and therefore we don't live. What did Paul say? I am crucified with Christ, but yet I live. But I don't live, but what? But Christ lives in me. But without Christ living in us, then guess what? We're living empty lives. We're walking in the emptiness of life. And so this is what Paul is saying to the church here in Ephesus, not to do that. Not to walk as the Gentiles who walk in that emptiness life. So let's read, if you will. We'll begin in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 17 through the end of the chapter, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 17. He says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now that word vanity translates emptiness. In the emptiness of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness and to the work of all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man true to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that things which is good, that he may be what to give to him that needeth. And let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good in the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You know, these verses as we read, we see these are some very powerful verses, aren't they? About how that we are to live, not in emptiness, but we are to live in the fullness of Christ, but not empty lives, as he says, some Gentiles are walking in. And this is what he's saying to the people here at Ephesus and to other Gentiles. Don't walk as other Gentiles. Don't walk as other people who are walking around in the vanity and the emptiness of their minds. But make sure that as we come this morning and celebrate with these people that have accepted Christ, these people that will be baptized, as it says that we, what, get rid of that old, but we walk in that newness of life, and that newness of life is everything but empty, right? That if we have accepted Christ, here he talks about, I think one of the sermons I preached from this was talking about putting off and putting on. Verses 22 says, put off the concerning the former conversation. 25 says, you know, to put away that line. 24 says, put on the new man. So I think I preached messages about that. You may remember it, putting off and the putting on. Well, this morning, this is exactly what we're talking about. How do we walk in our life, not in emptiness, but walk with true meaning, walk with true purpose, with a sense of that we are who God wants us to be, and not empty, but we are filled with him and with his goodness. So what does that entail? How does that take place? Well, I think we want to look at four things this morning that I believe are so important in these verses here that speak to our hearts this morning about being a new person in Christ, not walking in that oldness of life, not walking in that in emptiness, but walking in that newness of Christ. So I want us to look at four things. First, we want to see that when we walk in that newness of Christ and not in emptiness, then our motives are different. We don't have empty motives. Our motives are real and genuine. Number two is our morals. We don't have empty morals, but we have righteous morals. Our message is different. Our message is one, not an empty message that means nothing, but it has meaning. Our mission is not empty. Our mission has meaning and it has purpose. So this is what he talks about in these verses 17 down through 32 this morning. He's talking about those things. He's talking about how that we are not empty in our motives, in our morals, our message, in our mission. And so let's go back and look at those and look at the verses that talk about this morning. Well, the first thing we see that he has said to them, that as I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in that vanity, that emptiness of their mind. But what was the problem? It says they had their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. So we see that through the ignorance that they had become blind in their hearts. And you know, when a person becomes blind in their hearts, guess what? Then their motives are dark. They are in darkness. their understanding had been darkened. And all of their motives was for dark motives. Have you ever seen people that everything that they did, it was for themselves? Everything that they did, it was to make sure they could get out something out of it. They didn't care if they helped anybody else. They didn't care how they hurt anybody else. They didn't care who they had to step on. As long as they got ahead and as long as it was for their good, that's all their motives was about. And they had been darkened, their understanding. They were ignorant of the love and the goodness of God. And it says they were alienated from the life in God. So life in God, when we become new creatures in Christ, our motives change. The reasons that we do what we do changes. No longer are we wrapped up in I. No longer are we wrapped up in self. But now we start what? We start thinking about the other person. We start thinking about how this is going to affect them. You know, we live in a day of such greediness. Look what he said there in verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness and the work of all uncleanness with what? Greediness. That greediness had caused them that they were after that lasciviousness, they were after money, they were working all works of uncleanness. Because why? Because it was all wrapped up in themselves. They had gotten past that they couldn't even feel. Their motives didn't even bother them. You know, I can't understand how anybody could work in the abortion field. Much less a doctor or a nurse who has taken an oath to preserve life and to make life the best that it can and to help save lives. And then to see those people go after a career in committing abortions. How can you do that? How can you do that? It's all because of what? That greediness. It's because their motives are wrong. Their motives are bad. They have gotten past feeling. They are blinded, he says. Their hearts have been blinded. You know, I ask myself the question, you know, where is their heart? Do they not have a heart? You know, do you not have a heart? You ever seen somebody ask you that? Or had you ever asked somebody else that? Well, do you not have a heart? How can you be so cold? How can you be so callous? You know, when our motives become so blatant that we're in it for the money, we're in it for ourselves, we could care less about other people, then he says, don't walk like that. You're walking in emptiness. Anytime that our motives are surrounded about ourselves, anytime that our motives are all about getting us ahead of everybody else and improving my conditions, no matter how bad I have to hurt somebody else or make more money, as long as I can make money and it doesn't make any difference how illegal or how immoral it is, as long as I can make the money, then I'm going to do it. And brothers and sisters, that's where we're living at in this world. That's where we're at. But he says when we are Christian people, when we have accepted Christ, when we go through that baptism of pool and we're raised up to walk in that newness of life, then we're not walking in that emptiness of life. We're walking in something that has meaning, something that's going to do good for other people, not for us. We have feelings and our motives are based upon our love and our concern and our compassionate for other people. You know, all the things that we see that Jesus did and said time and time again, he did it because he loved us. He did it because he had compassion upon us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That was his motive. That was his reasoning. No other reason. But we have our motives all messed up today because of this past feeling, this greediness, that our hearts have been blinded. Paul says, don't walk in this emptiness of life. Well, let's look at the second thing. These things, because of this greediness and this uncleanness, they'll work all uncleanness, and because of the greediness, then it led to what? A decay of our morals. Our morals are empty. Where in the world are our morals today? Who've ever seen what we see in today? I've never seen such a lack of morals that we're seeing today. Everything that used to be done down on the back streets and at night are done now what? On Front Street and in the broad open daylight. The things that used to be in the closet and hid, where they're at now, they're right out on the main stage. Nothing hid anymore. And people just wide open. That just the morals that we see, that people just don't think anything about being immoral in their actions and their things that they're doing. And look what he talks about. He mentions these morals. Look at verse 22. He said that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. deceitful lust. You know, this word lust, what people lust after. You know, we think about that in a sexual term usually. People lusting after, a man lusting after a woman. And Jesus even said, you know, that you've read that it says what? Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you what? That you even look upon a woman and lust after that woman. Then you have already committed adultery with her. But you know, we can lust after a lot of things. There's a lot of things that we lust after in life. That goes back to that greediness. That goes back to that getting ahead. That's walking in that emptiness. But lust has brought people to a point of greediness. And after that, lasciviousness. And it has brought them, because of their lack of morals and because of that lust of the flesh. The Bible tells us very plain that there's constantly a war that's going on between each and every one of us in our lives. You know, even Paul talked about, what did he say? The things that I know I should do, I don't do. And the things I know I shouldn't be doing, it seems like those are the things that I'm doing. Because of that lust, we can't walk in that emptiness. Lust is an empty feeling. When you continue to lust after something, that's an empty feeling. But it will drive you crazy. And he says we can't walk in that way. But we have been brought to that point, he says in verse 22. We had to put off that old man. We got to turn away from that corruption because of that deceitful lust. See, lust is deceitful. It is deceitful. It will carry you down the wrong road. He says in verse 25, look what he said. Verse 22, he talks about lust. 25, he says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Have you ever seen such a time? And I know I preach a lot about this, because what we don't really understand is where does lying come from? It's straight from Satan. The Bible says plain that Satan is what? The father of all lies. He is the father of all lies. He is a bald-faced liar. He is a deceiver. There goes that word again, back up in 22, through the deceitful lust. He deceives to us. He lies to us. And brothers and sisters, when our motives are not pure and our motives are empty, then guess what? We don't think nothing about lying. You know, as long as I can get to my end that I want because of my greed, I don't care about lying to somebody. I don't care about telling them something. You know, we had several people come by this week to the church and need help. And you know, just listening to their stories, you know, I just sit there sometimes and just shake my head. And I just, it's kind of like that old saying, if you'll give them enough rope, they'll hang themselves. And I just let them keep talking. And they'll tell story after story after story. And none of them will match up. And they'll go from this story to another one. And I mean, it never ceases to amaze me that people really think we're that stupid at West Macomb Baptist Church that we just believe all their lies. You know, we have the word out in our community, you know, that we are a church that will help people. But still, we're not stupid just because we're compassionate, just because our motives is that we love people. But brothers and sisters, we still know when somebody's lying to us. We still know when people are lying to us. And we try to point that out to them. But see, brothers and sisters, when we live in a world where people are walking in emptiness of life, their lives are empty. They don't care nothing about lying. Lies are empty, right? What can a lie do for you? We talked about how that the truth can set you free last Sunday night in John 8, I believe it was, 38, where he says, the truth shall set you free. And they said, well, how we're not in bondage. We've been Moses' people, and we're not in bondage. Moses set us free way back then. And he said, but you're in bondage to sin. Sin, when you're caught up in these lies. Our children don't have to be taught to lie, do they? Isn't that amazing? That it's just inbred in them because of that sinful nature. But we're living in a day and time where lying is taught as an art. Lying is taught that let's see who can tell the best lie on the news. Let's see who can tell the best lie in the White House or in the Congress or in the Senate. Let's see who can tell the best lie in the pulpit on Sunday morning. Paul says our morals have got to get better. We got to get away from that lustful, that deceitful lust. We got to get away from that telling those lies. We got to put away those things. He says in verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Our morals, anger. Have we ever seen such a time that people are so angry? Who'd ever thought we'd live in a time that we would have a thing such as called road rage, that people would actually shoot people or push them off the road with their cars because they got mad, because they cut them off, or maybe they didn't turn their blinker on, or maybe they cut back in front of them? Isn't that amazing? We live in an angry society today. People everywhere are angry. We just saw another school shooting this week, and I believe not any of them were killed. I hope that's the case, that not any of them were killed. But do you look at the anger? He says that what? That's empty. When people are so angry, then they're empty. You know, if you are empty, then you're going to be filled with something. You're either going to be filled with joy and praise, or with anger and resentment. And this is what people are being filled with. They're so angry, they're so resentful of everybody else around them, and it's terrible to see where we're headed in this nation that we live in. The anger that people have, the anger that they have not only with people they don't even know, but the anger within our families, child abuse, spousal abuse, all these things are at a new high. I mean, children attacking teachers at school. Who ever heard of such? The anger. He says, don't walk in that emptiness. Don't let anger get to you. Don't let that anger consume you, and that causes you to a place that sin. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. He says in verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. Do you see these morals that he's talking about? Lust, lying, anger, stealing. All the things that we're seeing today. I mean, I've never seen such a time that we saw during the COVID and during other times when we saw people looting and stealing. And, you know, that you can steal up to $1,000. Ain't nobody going to say anything to you. Isn't that crazy? I mean, stealing is stealing. If you stole 50 cents, it's stealing. If you sold $1,000, it's stealing. If you stole $1 million, it's still stealing. And he says, don't walk in that emptiness. How good does it make you feel when you work for something? When you work for something and you get that first paycheck, or you work for that car all those years and you save that money, isn't that a whole lot better than going and stealing one? I mean, we live in a day where it seems like carjackings are up in Jackson. Never seen anything like it. Never were up. Afraid to park your car somewhere, somebody's going to steal it. Isn't it amazing that we see so many that think it's going to fulfill their lives to be a thief? Isn't it amazing that they don't think about getting caught, do they? They don't think about getting caught. Heard a story of a young man just this week who's been caught time and time again, but now he has stolen a big enough sum amount that he'll be away for years in prison. I wonder how fulfilling that is. I imagine he's pretty empty right now. He that stole will steal no more. He sums it all up in verse 24, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in what? Righteousness and true holiness. See, those motives make sure that we're true holy. If our motives are not right, then our holiness is empty. Our holiness is no good. Those motives have to be right. Our motives are right. Our morals come into being. And then we see that our message must not be empty. You know, there's a lot of people saying a lot of things right now, aren't they? You turn on the TV, everybody's got an opinion. Every newscaster's got an opinion. Every TV preacher's got an opinion. Every radio talk host has got an opinion. Every teacher in the classroom's got an opinion. Every professor in college has got an opinion. Lord, I'm like elbows. I got two of them. But are they worth anything? Is our message just empty? Are we really saying anything? I never one time went. One of my cousins, somebody gave him a plaque. It said, keep on talking. Maybe you'll say something before long. You know, is our talking just a bunch of hot air, just a bunch of talking, but really our message says nothing? He says in verse 29, what? Let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but do that which is good and edifying. That is, may minister grace to the hearers. He goes down in verse 31. He said, let all bitterness, wrath and anger, there's that wrath and anger again, clamor, that evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, you know, he talks about evil speaking. You know, there's so much evil speaking today. When we think about that, I'm afraid so many times we think about just cursing, But it's not just cursing. Evil speaking can be slandering people. It can be talking false witness against somebody. It can be, you know, abusive talk and just ugly talk, just being ugly to one another. He says, don't have that kind of that speech. Don't have that kind of speech, that evil speaking to one another. But speak those things, I love what he said up there, that are good, that edify, that brings grace. Did you see that in verse 29? That minister grace unto the hearers, that which is good to the use of the edifying. You know, our message should not be a message of emptiness, hope. You know, we shouldn't speak to people putting them down and carrying them down. And that's what a lost person does. A person who is saved, a person who's walking in that newness of Christ, they're a person who is giving people hope. They're speaking good things that will edify the other person. They are things of grace that shows grace and acceptance and gives them encouragement to be the best person that they can be, to be the best that they can be, and to encourage them to bring them up. But where do we get that today? It seems like we live in a day of time where everybody's putting everybody down. Everybody's talking bad about everybody. Everybody else is wrong, and I'm the only one right. And we don't give any encouragement. We're just beating people down with our words time and time and time again. But he says, when we walk not as these Gentiles in emptiness, in an empty life, that a life that is a life that is full, a life that is good life, a life that is lived for the Lord, it's going to be a life full of goodness and edifying, and one that is full of grace, not speaking these bitter things, these evil speaking, not with these corrupt communications, but we have a message, and that message is that God loves you. That message is that Jesus died for you. That message to you that he will forgive you of your sins if only you will repent of them. That message is you can be a new person. So when we become that new person, then we are a person with that what? Not empty motives, but new motives. Not empty morals, but new morals. We're that person with not an empty message, but a new message of hope and assurances and salvation for those that are lost. Well, then that brings us then, if we have those three, then our mission. What is our mission? What is your mission in life? You know, you ask young people a lot of times, you know, what are you going to be when you graduate? What are you going to be when you grow up? I love to ask people that. What do you plan on being when you grow up? Sometimes I ask 40-year-old people that, you know, what are you going to be when you grow up? Because they haven't grown up yet. Well, what are you going to be? What are your plans? What is your mission in life? Is it an empty mission? Or it is a mission that you're going to make a difference in this world because you know Jesus is your Savior, because you're a Christian. You know, Christian people are put here on this earth. You have been saved by Jesus, if you have accepted Jesus, for a mission. He gave us what we call the Great Commission, to go into all the world, preach and teach and baptize, to teaching them to observe all things that he has taught us. He goes with us day in and day out. That's our mission. That is the commission that he gave each and every one of us as Christian people. But what is your mission? Is your mission an empty mission? That you're just here, well, I'm going to work and I'm going to make a lot of money and I'm going to live my life like I want to live it. Well, then, what good have you done this world? If you've not told anybody, then you have really wasted a life. I see people wasting their lives all the time. I see them wasting their lives all the time. They could be such a witness. They could be such a great influence in this world, this dark world today. If they would just give their hearts and their lives to Jesus, their mission could be so great, and they could make such a difference. But they have an empty mission. It's all about them. Make that money. That's their motive. Their morals, they could care less if they have to lie, cheat, or steal to get ahead. Their message is one, I'm better than you, I'm going to get ahead of you, and I could care less about you. No love, no concern, no compassion. And that's their mission in life. Is that the kind of life you want to live? That's the kind of life people live without Jesus. But when you know Jesus, then your mission is one. First of all, what did he say? Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. If we are not grieving the Holy Spirit, then that means we're letting the Holy Spirit guide us and direct us and lead us and give us the mission that we're supposed to have in this world. That's what the Holy Spirit does, is it guides us, he directs us, he gives us purpose in this life. and he lives in us. But if you're not living out your mission for Christ, then you're grieving the Holy Spirit. You're grieving him. If you're a Christian, you're grieving him if you're not allowing him to direct you. If you're lost, you don't have him anyway. You're just empty. You have an empty mission anyway. But he goes on down and he says, not only that, but he says what? Let us what? Forgive one another, even as Christ, for Christ's sake, forgave you. He talks about being kind and tenderhearted to other people. That should be our mission, to show forgiveness to a world who finds no forgiveness, to a world that is so cruel, evil speaking, so corrupt, so full of darkness, that we can be that light, that our motives can shine bright, that our morals are different from the world, that our message is one of hope, and our mission is to love people and to forgive them as God forgave us for Christ's sake. This morning, don't live an empty life. Live when full of the Spirit and of Jesus. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these that have listened so attentively this morning. And Lord, I pray that we'll not walk in this emptiness of life, but Lord, that we'll walk in the newness of life, that we'll walk in the leadership of the Holy Spirit dwelling and living in us. Lord, if there's one lost that's living an empty life today, help them to accept Jesus right now. Help them to forgive. Ask him to forgive them of their sins. If they'll just repent, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all that unrighteousness. So Lord, speak to our hearts now as we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.